I'd like to have you turn, please, in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Gospel of John, chapter 8. Mentioned last week that we've been speaking on the Lord Jesus Christ, His deity, His attributes, His work, and His person. And we want to continue along that theme this morning. I want to speak to you this morning on five major titles of the Lord Jesus, five major titles given to the Lord Jesus. Now, there are many more than that, but I want to take five, at least, of the major titles of the Lord Jesus, and I believe it's imperative that we know a little bit about His titles, who He is, and what His titles represent, and how they connect with His person. I want to begin reading in John chapter 8 and verse 54. John chapter 8 and verse 54, please. Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that He is your God. Yet ye have not known Him, but I know Him. And if I should say I know Him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know Him and keep His saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." The term that I would like you to take notice of in that portion of Scripture is a term that I'm going to be referring to repeatedly this morning, and that is found in verse 58, "Before Abraham was, I am." I am. In previous messages concerning the person and work of Christ, we talked about the Lord Jesus Christ being God. He is God. And we noted in several portions of Scripture that wonderful truth that identifies Him as Elohim. We noted also that He possesses all of the essential attributes of deity. We noted also that He is co-equal with God. Jesus said, "I and my Father are one in essence and in substance and in wisdom." We noted also that He was the Son of God and is the Son of God, and He was also of the Son, the Son of David, and we noted that this teaches you and me of His divine nature as well as His impeccable, sinless human nature. We also said that He revealed Himself to His disciples as the promised Messiah. We noted that in John chapter 14 concerning the Lord Jesus as He was teaching His disciples of who He was. And then we noted as well that He claimed to forgive sins. He did not refuse to receive human worship. He was without sin, and He claimed that He would rise from the dead, which, of course, we know He did. And then last week, we spoke about the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we noted several Old Testament scriptures that were predictions of the fact that He would be born into this world. In Isaiah 7:14, the Scripture says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." And we know that the Lord Jesus was born of the woman, Mary, in Matthew chapter 1, and she called his name Jesus. And we know that the Scripture tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 that God was, that the mystery of godliness is that God was in Christ. And so Jesus was the manifestation of God in the flesh. We also noted his purpose for coming into this world and being born as a virgin was to reconcile you and me, was to rescue you and me, was to redeem us and to recover us and to reveal the nature of God the Father. Now this morning, as we look into these five major titles of the Lord Jesus, the first thing I would like to have you see by way of introduction in chapter 8 of John, and at verse 52, really, is that through these scriptures, the Lord Jesus is identifying himself with Jehovah of the Old Testament. We know that he has already been identified as the Elohim, the Creator, and now we find him being identified with the same Jehovah of the Old Testament. Now, this may not seem like it's very much to you and me who are Gentiles, but if you were a Jew living in the days of the Lord Jesus and you would presumptuously take upon yourself to identify yourself with the Jehovah of the Old Testament, you would have been committing blasphemy, and they would take you out and put you in the middle of a circle of men who would take up stones and stone you until you were dead, because that would be committing blasphemy. And this, in essence, is what they were accusing the Lord Jesus of committing in John chapter 8. Well, there are a couple verses in the Old Testament that you might like to jot down that are very explicit in naming God of the Old Testament, Jehovah. In Psalm 83 and verse 18, it says that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. Up until Exodus chapter 6 and verse 3, the Scripture says that men did not know the Lord by the name of Jehovah. They knew him by the name of Elohim, the strong and faithful one and the Creator. I believe that men called upon the name of the Lord and they used the name of Jehovah, but up until Genesis chapter 6, they did not fully understand the meaning of that word Jehovah and all that it implied until Moses came along and began to use that word Jehovah by the way of redemption. That is the redemption through which Jehovah gave to the children of Israel. Also, in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8, it says, I am the Lord, that is my name. I am Jehovah. Notice it is all capitals, L-O-R-D. Whenever you see that word, Lord, spelled that way, you ought to know that it means Jehovah. It means Jehovah. And so God says that that is his name. And he says, my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. God will not share the glory of redemption by which he made himself known to the children of Israel by the name of Jehovah with anyone else, not with idols, not with men, not with angels, not with anyone will he share his glory in redemption. So he states this very specifically, that the Lord, Jehovah, is his name. In verse 58 of John chapter 8, Jesus said to these people that he was talking to, these were religious people, naturally, they almost always were, religious people, whenever they got into a deep theological discussion, or whenever there was a question about his work and person, we always find the Lord Jesus
in a theological discussion because they were the ones who brought it up. Have you ever been around somebody that says, listen, I don't want to talk about religion. I don't want you to mention it anymore to me. We can be friends, but don't talk to me about religion. And about 5 minutes later, they're asking you something about the Bible. And you try to tell them, they say, now wait a minute, I don't want to know anything about religion. I don't want anything about the Bible. We won't talk about that anymore. About a half an hour later, they're asking another question about the Bible. I think that's just about the way it was. People innately are religious creatures. We are religious creatures. We're going to worship something, and I believe that there is a curiosity about the human mind, the human heart, that compels us to know that there is something more than this life. And certainly, we know that as God has revealed Himself in the Scriptures to you and me. But Jesus was here revealing Himself, that is, His person, as to who He really is to these people. And He uses this expression, I am, in identifying Himself with the same God in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14 that Moses went to. Moses, remember, was a fellow who had some limitations. He was a fellow who stuttered, possibly, and certainly he didn't have much confidence in himself. And when God told him to go and deliver the children of Israel, he turned to the Lord and he said, whom shall I say has sent me? And the Lord says, you tell them that I am, hath sent thee. And Jesus was here identifying himself with the Jehovah of the Old Testament, the same I am. Now the word Jehovah comes from two Hebrew words, Haya and Yahweh. And so we get the name Jehovah. But it carries with it a little bit more than just the self-existent one or the one who has revealed himself to mankind in redemption. Remember Elohim, the word that God used in the first verse in the Bible, called himself Elohim. We know that he is Elohim and we think of him as the creator and sustainer and maintainer of all things. But by Jehovah, we think of him as the one who brought redemption. Jesus identifies himself with the God of Moses in chapter 3, and he calls himself Haya Yahweh, Jehovah. Jehovah, I am, the self-existent one, as Yahweh delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt and chose Moses, the man of God, to do it. So the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who had his seal placed upon him by the Father to deliver sinners out of their sinfulness and rescue us and redeem us from this present world. That word Jehovah means self, the self-existent one, the utterly independent one, the one who is continuously coming to be, the one who is continuously unveiling and revealing himself to you and me. And it is an active process. It is a continuation. God continually wants to reveal himself to you and me. As you read through the Scriptures, you will find from Genesis to Revelation, it is an unveiling of the person and magnitude of God and his purpose for mankind. But it doesn't stop there. God wants to do the same kind of work in you and me. He wants to constantly reveal himself to you and me that we, day by day, may grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and that we would conform ourselves into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way that God can do that is by a continuous revelation of himself to you and me in our lives, even by the Spirit of the Lord, changing us from image, from one image to another, from one degree of holiness to another, until that perfect day when we shall see him face to face. That's God's purpose for you and me, beloved. Well, there were some here who said he was insane. claimed that he had a devil. They were thinking, of course, only of physical death. They were thinking of their father Abraham. Abraham was dead. Verse 53, they said, "Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thyself anyway? What do you mean talking like this? Who do you think you are?" If they had only recognized him as who he really was. Well, Jesus said in 54 and verse 55 that he had an intimate relationship with the Father. "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God." Oh, but listen, "yet ye have not known him." Remember earlier in that chapter, those same religious people claimed that Abraham was their father and that they were born of the seed of Abraham, and their genealogy went all the way back to the first Hebrew, and they were simply claiming that through some kind of religious connection, they had all that they needed to know God. Strange, isn't it? But the same kind of philosophy, only in different ways, is expressed today. Jesus said that you do not know God. What if you had known him? If they had known him, they would have worshipped him. And in verse 56, Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." And they're thinking to themselves, how does this man know anything about Abraham? How does he know anything about the faith of Abraham or the thoughts of Abraham? How does this man connect with Abraham? And the Jews said unto him, "Thou art not 50 years old, and you're declaring to us that you know Abraham?" And that was when Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, Hiya Yahweh, I am. I am. I am." And immediately when he said that, they knew that he was referring to Jehovah of the Old Testament and claiming deity himself. And so they took up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself and passed through the midst of them. I want you to see that I am. Now, there are several places in the Bible that Jesus claims to be the I am of our faith. Beloved, whenever you are in doubt and when you get perplexed, and I know that there are many promises in God's Word, especially in the epistles, one of my favorite books is the book of Philippians. And I think you ought to memorize some of those wonderful promises in the book of Philippians. But we need to remember that our faith is founded in a person. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where our faith is anchored. It's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible reveals that person to you and to me. He is the I am of our faith. And we can put ourselves or get ourselves or be in any kind of a circumstance, any kind of a situation, any kind of a trial, any kind of a testing, any kind of sorrow, any kind of a reverse, any kind of an emotional state. It doesn't matter. And we can look up with our eyes toward heaven and we can say that Jesus Christ is the I am of that situation. The I am. And he is, beloved. He is to you and me. We had better see that about him. Listen, if all you have is salvation, and all you have is coming to church once a week, if that's all you have and that's all you want, then you don't know him as the I am. You really don't know him as the I am. You don't know him as the all-sufficient one. You don't know him as the one who can deal with every problem that you have. You don't know Him. Oh, you know Him as your Savior. But that's where you draw the line. First of all, I'd like to have you turn to John 6, please. John chapter 6. All of these titles, incidentally, come from the Gospel of John. If you have the Gospel of John with you today, you won't have to turn very far in your Bible. John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, beloved, if you don't know another verse in all the Bible, that ought to be enough to tell you and me that the Savior that saved you and that loves you and that maintains you is sufficient enough for every problem you have. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. The occasion of that declaration was the feeding of the 5,000 in John chapter 6, 1 through 13. And it happened to be, as the Lord fed the 5,000, and He did, and there were 12 baskets full of bread left over, that there were some people who wanted to follow Him, not because of who He was, but because of what He could do for them. We have the same problem. We come to God not alone because of that we can worship Him from our hearts and just praise Him and thank Him. We come to Him because of what we can get out of Him. What can God do for me? I've heard people say, well, I've tried everything else. I might as well try this. Well, why are they saying that? They're saying that because they want something from God. They want to get something from God. And if you got saved because you were trying to get something out of God, you got saved for the wrong reason, my friend. And if that's your philosophy now, you're living for Christ for the wrong reason also. It's not what I can get out of God, it's but what I can give to Him. That ought to be our attitude. But these people were following Him. They were following Him because He multiplied the bread, and they could see this material advantage of following Jesus. Hopefully, He would do something else of the nature. Maybe. Oh, just maybe. He could multiply some gefilte fish. You ever had gefilte fish? Huh? Or, what do they call those? Matzo balls. I mean, if He could do that, maybe He would do more, see? Maybe He'd give us something a little more tastier. Possibly. They were following Him for what they could get out of Him. Look at verse 26 of the same chapter. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but you did, because you did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. Unlike present day healers, so-called, Jesus Christ did not say, now what you need to do is follow me and I'll show you more miracles. That's what these people are doing today, these charlatans, these false prophets. Jesus said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Beloved, the need we have is not a material need. The need that we have is a spiritual need. You know what these people did? Look at in verse 28, they said, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Everyone wants to do something, don't they, in order to have eternal life, in order so that they won't be in debt to God. We'll work ourselves to the bone so that at the end of our life, God will have to accept me because of all that I've done for Him. Well, I'm afraid you won't be accepted if that's what you're trying to do. That's what these people thought. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus said in verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. Beloved, if you're going to have your spiritual needs met, if the soul in your heart that is so famished and poverty-stricken is going to be nourished, then you need to live a life of faith and recognize that Jesus Christ is your bread of life. That He is the one that will nourish you. That He is the one who will feed you. That He is the one who will satisfy you and give you that meat which will last forever. Amen.